snap. The kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, Ree. No, sir, Ree. Final score, Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
You're listening to the RTI Podcast, powered by WalkieTalkInsider.com.
RTI Podcast on this Tuesday. Happy to be joined by the Athletics' David Ubben. David, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Trey.
Good, man. Good. How's the offseason been? What you been up to, buddy?
Working on various different stuff. Getting yelled at by Texas fans. Trying to keep track of the constant carousel of motion in Tennessee. Trying to keep my dog from barking. All kinds of stuff, really.
That sounds intriguing. Now that Tennessee's out of the basketball tournament, everything focuses to spring football, which starts on Thursday. I want to start with the pro day real quick. What are you interested in learning? We're not going to be able to watch it probably. What are you interested in learning out of the guys that are going to be participating in the pro day? Like, are you going to pay attention to Trey Smith more than you would Palmer, because we know what Palmer can do? Like, where are you up with that?
The pro day specifically, I don't think there's a lot there from a media perspective, from a fan perspective. I think if you're working for an NFL team, it's very relevant. You're very much going to be paying attention. Me personally, I can't say I get too fired up about pro days. I mean, for the guys, it's a big day, you know, in their life, and they can, make an impact, especially this year. There's no combine. The pro days have taken on a new significance. NFL teams are sending more personnel out. Teams are obviously putting a stronger, emphasis on that. So these are more important for the players and the teams than they've ever been. But I think for fans and media and all that stuff, I never get super fired up about the pro days personally. It's a tough watch most of the time. A lot of guys are running around.
No, I agree, especially with Tennessee only having four participants.
Yeah, very small group.
Right? Yeah, that was kind of that was interesting. And then Palmer was telling me about, Dormady throwing to him, and I was like, wow, okay, you're going to have a former quarterback in the building, which is another weird part.
Yeah, a lot of those, especially the defensive linemen, coming back. Tennessee's going to have a lot of super seniors next year. I think everyone has to figure out how to define it. I think we're trying not to invent new terms. I think we're just going to call them sixth-year seniors, basically, which is a thing that already exists, but for other reasons. But classification is going to be a little complicated. But Tennessee has a lot of them. I think 11 guys coming back, roughly. That's the most, I believe.
I think that's what it was, yeah, looking at the numbers. What? Okay, so let's talk off-season and how this thing has gone. We've both spoken with folks, and we see they're trying to build up the team morale over there, and they're trying to do their installs when it comes to offense and defense and trying to get that set up where they can go for the spring. Is there anything that has surprised you over the last month and a half, 2 months, since Josh Heupel took the job before we get started with spring practice?
Not a ton. I think, the biggest thing is just, from seeing what they've done, Josh came on my podcast, last month sometime. They're just putting a huge emphasis on trying to develop those relationships. You know, for a lot of these guys, last year when they spent a lot of time, you're going to the facility, you're working out, you're going home. You might have practice, you might have some position meetings. Some of those are taking place over Zoom. I think some of those relationships were stagnated between teammates even. I think guys felt like they were just not that well connected with their general teammates, maybe more so the guys in their position group, but the roster as a whole, not really. Then you add in a new staff, new coaches. They don't know these guys. They didn't sign up to play for these guys. So that's a task that every coach has to deal with. And I think it's doubly so considering how last year went, just, the combination of losing, the abrupt firing of staff where, it sounds like players didn't quite grasp how serious that investigation was. Like, a lot of people did, but I think a lot of players just thought, it won't be that big of a deal. So they have a big task ahead. And I think that's been interesting to see how deliberate they've been. When you talk about, you know, the program, some of the trust building stuff that they've done, just trying to spend time with guys as much as they can. You still have restrictions away from the field, and trying to build these relationships that, weren't in the best place last year just because of how the season went. And obviously dealing with restrictions, guys in and out, not a lot of like everybody in one place. And I think things are a bit more normal this year, but I think that's what I've taken away is how deliberate they've tried to be, trying to build those relationships back up.
You brought up, I want to hit on just for a second, you brought up the investigation, because man, it feels like, you know, it's been a hot minute as this thing has gone on, and compared to the fact that where we were in December, you know, we get to January, okay, Pruitt's fired, Philip Fulmer, quote, steps down, but still getting that money.
I love that personally. I'm going to step aside and take the money that I would have gotten for if I had been fired.
I'll take that $37,500. Right. Thank you.
The college sports and what they like to call things are amazing. But anyway, you were saying.
As we've gotten to this point with the investigation, and man, they were still interviewing people. I think it was 3.5 weeks ago.
They still are.
This
thing is still not closed. I think some people, you know, we work it. I'm paying attention to it constantly. Nobody cares as much now because you kind of know. But I think a lot of people thought when Jeremy Pruitt got fired, all those people got fired, like that was the end. Like, no, like it's still going on. Like it's still open. And, you know, I'm glad I don't have to be involved in a whole lot of that. I think, you know, you hear different things, but certainly – I think fans have not necessarily realized that investigation is still open and ongoing.
Well, no, it was interesting. Well, it's goodness, 3.5 weeks ago, they were interviewing coaches that weren't even on the staff last year. So, you know, to get where we are to where we sit right now, what kind of – we both feel kind of the cloud that's going to hang over when it comes to recruiting. But you've seen other cases around the country. Is this something that – okay, maybe by 2022, January 2022, that finally comes a resolution? Or in your opinion, and this is kind of where I'm at, is Tennessee going to go ahead and self-impose? Mm-hmm. They're going to figure out a way to self-impose, and then they're going to have to worry about what if the NCAA agrees with what they've done?
Yeah, I think Tennessee, I would be surprised if we get to the end of this year, and I mean December 2021, and Tennessee hasn't self-imposed something. And then – you're just kind of crossing your fingers. I think Tennessee is hoping, hey, we were cooperative. We brought the NCAA into a lot of these Zoom interviews. We've been transparent. That's kind of the idea that Tennessee is going to try to sell. And hopefully, from their perspective, they're certainly hoping that they get a little more leniency because they weren't trying to cover things up. but it's the NCAA. You just don't know. This is an organization that very often defies precedent. They're very unpredictable, both in timing and outcome. So, yeah, Tennessee is going to, I'm sure, self-impose some sanctions by the end of the year. I'd be shocked if that didn't happen, you know, certainly by the end of the year, maybe a little bit sooner. But every day that this goes on, there's uncertainty that hurts you in recruiting, that hurts you in just the perception of your program. They want to get it done so you can sort of adjust and figure out your strategy. Therefore, but the NCAA works on its own timeline. I mean, Tennessee is not the first program that's going to be frustrated by how all this works. And again, considering the investigation is still going, you're not hearing those complaints yet, but it's not going to be long after they self-impose before people are like, how long do you have to wait for this? I mean, Tennessee's seen this on a small scale. You talk about the Cade Mays issue. You talk about the Uros Plavšić issue, the Aubrey Solomon issue. Yep. The NCAA works on its own timeline. And that's especially true in large scale cases like Tennessee is dealing with right now.
You think it's smart for Tennessee right when they wrap up their investigation and they see what it is, go ahead and put that bowl ban on themselves? Because it feels like with the allegations that are out there and quote unquote, the evidence that's out there right now, I think go ahead and self-imposing a bowl ban mm-hmm. is probably maybe the smartest route you can go, but you also want to have your players knowing what they're getting into the season and not just spurning this on them 3 weeks into the year.
And quite frankly, you know, Tennessee does not have a team that's looking to go 12-0 this year, you know? Right. And I think, you know, they might be bowl eligible, but they might not. And, you know, if you're giving up a trip to Shreveport or something, that's easier to swallow, you know, immediately. I mean, I think ultimately Tennessee would be thrilled with a 1 year bowl ban, considering, you know, the word that I keep hearing is dozens of level one and level two violations, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if they get a 1 year bowl ban, I think they'd be very happy with that. Can they get that again? I know better than to predict what the NCAA is going to do or not going to do and when they're going to do it. So Miles agrees, my dog. Anyway, but that was an affirmative bark. I've learned those. But anyway, so like they have to figure that out. And, you know, the stakes are higher if you have a team, you know, like Ohio State had, what, 7-8 years ago or whatever, when they went 12-0 and like, I think it was Urban's first year, maybe I forget exactly when that was, when they had sanctions
second year. Yeah.
But like, if you have a great team, maybe you put it off and you say, man, we're going to wait and see how this plays out. And if there's no decision, it's like Oklahoma State in the NCAA tournament right now. They didn't know if they're going to be able to go. They're waiting sanctions from the Adidas, FBI, all that stuff. I forget exactly who all was involved in that. But they had a good team, obviously. They're going to wait. They didn't know. They thought maybe later in the season that they might be in a situation where it could be February and the NCAA drops down and says, hey, you're banned from the postseason. I think Tennessee is going to self-impose that in part because the stakes are lower and because they know it's coming. And you might as well get that out of the way in year one. Hope it's year one. Maybe it's 2 years, you see. But again, I think if Tennessee does not have a bowl ban in 2021, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. Let's switch over to spring practice, which starts on Thursday for Tennessee. I guess everybody's crossing their fingers, but it looks like we're starting on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is the group on the offensive side? I know it, look, quarterbacks, I get that part of it. It's going to be interesting to see four different quarterbacks vying for that job. Is there another position on the offensive side that intrigues you when it comes to this type of offensive scheme that Josh Heupel and Golish and them are going to try to run?
I'm fascinated what we see from the receivers. I mean, I think Velus Jones and Jalin Hyatt have as much to gain as anybody on the roster. They have a lot of speed. They really fit what this offense wants to do. You know, we'll see what does Malachi Wideman offer. You know, what's Ramel Keaton's situation? The receivers, I think, are going to be really interesting because there's so much opportunity behind them. You know, last year you had Josh Palmer, who, you know, was pretty much what people thought he was going to be, unlimited opportunities with an offense that wasn't very good. But then you saw Jones and Hyatt come on late in the season, and they're going to have opportunities. They're going to have to be the guys this year. So we'll see if they can do that. And then behind them, you know, what do those roles look like? So I'm fascinated to see what the receivers can do. I mean, Jones and Hyatt are promising, but they're still two guys that have never had 300-yard receiving seasons, and that's not a lot of yards. I think Devontae Smith had like 6 300-yard games last year, something like that. So, you know, they have to – the production has to be there, and I think in this offense it will be, and those guys have a lot to gain.
Okay, what's your take on the quarterback situation right now? Because you look at – okay, Harrison Bailey's gotten snaps at Tennessee. Brian Maurer's gotten snaps. Caden Salter, okay. Hendon Hooker, he's got experience. Mm-hmm. None of them have run this system. Now, Maurer, you know, he was recruited by UCF back in the day before he came to Tennessee. But how does this play out in your mind? Because it feels like, no, it doesn't feel like it. It is. The first time in 3 years, Tennessee actually has a quarterback competition going into spring practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a little unpredictable. You know, I went out on a limb, and I think Hooker is a narrow favorite over Harrison Bailey. I think that experience, that playmaking ability, maybe Harrison Bailey can do this. But he looked very timid. Careful not to make mistakes. He didn't seem like a guy who really wanted to cut it loose. And I watched Hooker. I watched Virginia Tech a decent amount last year. That's not Hooker's personality. You know, he wants to let it rip. And you know, so that I think will be a factor. And that's, I think, the main reason, because I think they're going to learn the system in similar ways? You know, can they operate at all those things? But I think Hooker's a narrow favorite. I wouldn't be surprised if Bailey won that. You know, Maurer, we'll see. I wouldn't necessarily bet on him, but, you know, if he can make some plays, maybe. And then Salter, you know, I just think we'll see what his spring looks like. And, you know, young guys coming in, true freshmen, that's going to be tough with that much legitimate competition ahead of him.
How much different does the offensive line look this year, in your opinion? Because I went back and watched him a lot of UCF this offseason. They're the weight of the offensive linemen completely different than the weight of the guys that were at Tennessee last year. Like, they didn't have a lot of 325-pound offensive linemen at UCF. What is your take on what Tennessee does offensive line-wise this year with a couple decent players coming back that should be able to anchor them at spots?
Well, I don't think you're going to see them trim down and recruit a lot of 260, 280 guys.
Right, yeah.
On Coach Jones. I think the reality was that if you have 315-pound, 320-pound guys that can move, they weren't going to be able to get those guys at UCF. That just wasn't going to be – if those guys – if there's a guy at 320 pounds, is flexible, that can move, do all those things, they're going to somewhere else. Like,
right, yeah.
So, but at Tennessee, you can recruit those guys in theory. And so I think they're going to try, you know, to keep getting guys that are both fast and big, and usually when that happens, you have that combo – a top 200 something recruit. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to be a situation where they're trying to get all these low three stars in and coach them up or puts a bunch of weight on them. I don't think that they're going to look that much of it. I don't think they're going to be quite the same emphasis that Pruitt did, where we got to get Elijah Simmons in here. We got to get K-Rod Cow. We got to get all these 330, 340 pound just behemoths in here. I don't think you're going to see quite that emphasis. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt likes to talk about big men a lot. I don't think you're going to see quite that. But you're going to see, you know, normal-sized guys that are maybe a little bit more fleet of foot, maybe the 300, 310. But obviously they're going to have to be in good shape and guys that can move. So I don't think it's going to be remarkably different. I don't think you're going to see that strategy that we saw under Butch Jones, where it's a lot of 260, 290 guys that are skilled, but you get them in here and you add a bunch of weight. I think that probably contributed in some ways to some of the injury issues that they had at the offensive line. But, you know, we'll see. At this point, it's still a guess. And, you know, can they get those guys? They still have to prove that.
Well, and also, too, can the offensive line take the next step? Because last year everybody thought, okay, this is the offensive line. Look at this group. You know, look at the studs on this line. You know, this should be top three is what they were projected, you know, from a lot of different people, and us included, before the season, and they just didn't live up to the hype. So I guess maybe it's just a different opportunity for them this year.
Well, they're not – yeah, that's the thing, is they're still going to be a pretty talented, pretty experienced group. You know, you still have Cade Mays, who's still a five-star, still a future NFL guy. You got to feel pretty good about Jerome Carbon at center. I mean, I think he'll be pushed a little bit by Cooper Mays in that middle spot. You still have Darnell Wright, you know, for now, I guess. He's still on the roster. He's still going through practice. He's a five-star guy. You're at four and a sixth-year senior at center, but you still have those two. And then you have, again, K-Ron Calvert. He can still play. You've got Javonte Spraggins. You've got some younger guys. Chris Akbrogane, we'll see if he can get in the mix. They have talent. They have – I think the offensive line is going to be okay. I think they're going to be better than last year just because I think the offense had some schematic issues that I'm not sure the offensive line could make up for, that I'm not sure was all on Will Friend. I think this will be a better offensive line just because I think the offensive scheme as a whole is better. I think it's going to work in a more cohesive way where this offensive line is going to look better even if they're not as talented.
Okay, so this might be an easy question on the defensive side of the football. But to you, last year we saw where it never felt like Aubrey Solomon and Darrell Middleton were in shape. And you know, half of that's on COVID procedures, half of that's on workouts. But then you look at the other guys on that line of scrimmage, and then you take a look at the linebackers as well, where it just felt like there was kind of this off year when it comes to defense. So what Tim Banks is going to try to come in to do is scheme them up. A lot of these guys are going to play the almost not the same kind of defense, but like Rodney Garner was talking about, David, he's changing the terminology. He's not changing the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Which group, in your opinion, right now is the biggest for Tennessee that has to step up here? Is it going to be that linebacker group, with, you know, especially at outside linebacker, where you got Tyler Barron and Marvin Joseph at times, or is it going to be that defensive line group? Because we know what the problems are without having Toa Toa and Crouch.
I just think it has to be the defensive line. I don't think the linebackers have the dudes. I think they do at outside linebacker. You have some potential there. You mentioned Barron, Roman Harrison. You got some guys out there. We'll see what Marvin Joseph can do. Middle linebacker, you don't have the guys.
Yeah, so, nobody.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, this idea that these guys need to step up, I mean, it's not going to happen. Defensive line, you got a ton of experience, guys who have played. You have, goodness, 10 guys who can play. Who are like SEC level starters. They just haven't really been great players. They've been very average, but you have experience there. You have size there. You have, you know, Darrell Middleton, Matthew Butler. These guys, those are good players. Aubrey Solomon, these are good players.
Bumpus should be back, you know.
Yeah. So that's the group that has to take the next step. And, you know, I'm imagining that having their position coach fired 4 games into 2020 probably was not good for their development, I would say. Just a thought. I can't imagine that helped. And so, you know, you have Rodney Garner, who comes as highly respected as just about anybody, as a recruiter and a developer, and the people he's put into the pros. So he's going to have a lot to work with. So those guys are the guys that are going to have to be a strength. The linebackers, you know, the outside linebackers, I think we'll see. Those guys have some potential. You know, maybe they step up. But middle linebackers, I just think if you're asking without Crouch, without Toa Toa, you don't have those guys. Asking them to, you know, be a linchpin, I just think it's too much. They don't have the guys.
I mean, if you look at the linebackers, I mean, it's from last year, it's Banks and Aaron Beasley.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe see Solon Page experience finally. Right. He was running with the ones at the one spring practice we watched last year. That's, I don't know, crazy. That I was banking on him to be that guy come fall. But yeah, I mean, Banks, you know, he can play, but like, he's not experienced. He's still, you know, he's not a linebacker. He hadn't played a ton of linebackers. So what are you really expecting from him? You know, he can do some things and he's a hard hitter, but like, you know, to expect him to suddenly be this like all SEC, all American type guy is not really realistic. But defensive line, you got some guys who could be all SEC guys. So those guys are the ones that I think have to step up. The pieces are there. The coaching aspect, the experience aspect, the size, all the things are there for them to do some really good things this year.
Is this something where the secondary should be able to build off, at least with some talent, that they have some talent? I mean, you can throw in McCullough, mm-hmm. Burrell, Flowers, you know, Nico Slaughter if you want to. You've got Alante back in certain areas, Theo Jackson. Is this a group that needs to – they've got to take that next step because it kind of fell off a little bit last year? At times, is that somebody you pay attention to? Like, in your mind, who has to take the next step forward besides Alante Tucker?
Yeah, I mean, they get Kenneth George back. They get Warren Burrell back. I mean, you have some bodies there. Taylor is the only guy that I think is really, like, a great, huge. George can be. I think George, you know, he's probably a UDFA this time, maybe even right now, if he really wanted to come out. But probably next year, he's probably a UDFA guy who will probably get into camp. So, like, you know, he's capable. But Burrell has to step up. You know, we'll see. You know, they're going to have to play some young guys behind them. They need some people to step into that role. And it's going to be weird with Martinez and Banks splitting duties, coaching the secondary. That'll be an interesting little sort of juggling as they move on. So, I think, you know, I don't know that there's any specific guy, you know, that I think has to step up. I mean, you need your starters to be, you know, high end starters. You know, they have a lot of experience. I feel much better about the safeties. I think safety is going to be their best position this year. Theo Jackson, Jalen McCullough, Trey Flowers. I mean, those guys can play and they've got experience and can really do some things. So safety, I think, is going to be their best position. Cornerback, they have some guys, but the depth is like nothing there. So we'll see what they have.
Well, that's going to be a lot of you're going to see a lot of ones just running most of the game if they can. I mean, Tennessee's got to build up that depth, and that's, you know, that's what you brought in Martinez to do, and we'll see if Banks can help along with that. All right, let's talk about it. Toa Toa and Crouch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a never-ending story. The Toa Toa that should probably already be over with. Like the book should have already been, you know, this chapter should have been done.
It's odd.
The crowds thing, you know, he's in 1 week and then like after March 8th, I think it was something like that, like he was back out and then it's trying to figure out, okay, if he's going to come back in. When does it come to a point, man, where David, where it's like, all right, guys, this experiment, this back and forth mess, it's over. Either you're with the team or you're not with the team.
You know, I understand people wanting to draw that line in the sand, right?
Right.
I don't know that Tennessee is in the position to like want to do that. You know, in terms of fans, like if you're not with us, get out. Like, no, like you need all the players you can get. So regardless of what happens or how many hurt feelings there are or whatever, if at some point in the next 6 months, Kaveris Crouch and Henry To'oto'o, whether that's next week, whether that is in July, or whether that's 2 weeks before the season start, if those guys say, hey, I want to come back on the team, I'm sorry. You let them on the team.
Like red carpet.
You just do. They're just too good a player. Like, I get people that don't want that, that they say, no, you got to develop your culture. You need players. Like, you need players. And Tennessee is at a distinct disadvantage in that front. They have lost a lot of players. So I understand that people are like, you got to do things the right way. You can't have any special treatment. I understand that. And once they rejoin the program, you know, if they do, then sure. But, you know, I get fans wanting a conclusion. I get them saying, what's this? You know, this isn't fair. It might not be fair. What else is not fair? Life, right? And if you're a really good player or you're really good at something, guess what? You get a little bit different treatment. What it is. And so, you know, this whole hardline thing, I mean, it's a little silly. I get you want to have it one way or the other. But if those guys want to come back, I don't think there's any way, considering the state of this program right now, you can say no.
I mean, we've seen the To'oto'o thing play out. He's been on the West Coast. He's been taking classes. He's been working out. I've heard he's lost.
Very quiet. Him and all people around him, very quiet.
Right. And it, you know, and I heard, you know, he got pissed off that people found out he was in town. And it's like, well, okay, that's going to happen. I mean, you're Henry To'oto'o.
A lot of people care.
Right. A lot of people care. And it's now a situation where, okay, you know, does 11 see the field on Thursday? Or is it, you know, after spring? And how does that play out? How do you think that's hindered him when it comes to off season, you know, either waiting on what's going on at a different college or waiting to go on what's going on at Tennessee? Because, and I say that, David, because you would think after 2 months, it's been what, 2 months of winter workouts, getting ready for spring, you would think some kind of decision would have already been made when it came to Tennessee, right? Logically.
In theory, yes. I don't really know all the dynamics. Like I said, I haven't heard a lot of people in terms of like, what's going on? What are you trying to think through? What does this decision look like? I honestly don't know. It's a little confusing to me. I don't really get where their head is at. I've tried to talk to people, you know, around him over the last few months, you know, around the time that they were trying to bring him back when they still had the old staff, to this week when there are rumors, just there's not a lot coming out of there in terms of public comment. So, you know, I don't know. Just knowing Henry and the type of dude he is, I don't think that it's hurt him that much. I mean, I'm sure it has with the relationships and people on the team, just not being around them in these really formative times where this team is getting to know one another. But I'm sure he's working out. You know, he just sort of has that in him. Is he learning this defense? My guess would be probably not. So that I'm sure could put him behind. But, I mean, he's got an extremely high football IQ. If he starts missing practice, which it seems like almost certainly that's what's going to happen, if, you know, we're sitting here on a Tuesday or whatever and practice 2 days away, it's supposed to start today, and he's right. Not here, or, you know, he's not certainly part of the program. You know, that when he starts missing practice, that's what I think it's those live reps. You can't make up for that. I think he can do an off-season, you know, conditioning and strength program, you know, by himself or, you know, with facilities out in the Bay Area, he's going to do that stuff. But I don't think you can duplicate practice and live reps and learning this defense. So this is the point now where it's going to start hindering him. But again, if he wants to come back, you know, I think you got to let him come back.
Door's open, bud. Come on. Yeah. Hey, last question. I appreciate you joining. When we break down the spring and spring game happens and we're sitting down and we're typing up our reports after the spring game and wrapping everything up, what are you looking forward the most out of this group, coaching staff, everybody in general? I don't know how they're going to be able to install, you know, a whole offense in the spring, but they're going to try to get the basics down with this thing, at least leading into summer workouts and individual and stuff along those lines. What should be the takeaways coming out of spring as we sit here about to start spring?
I mean, I think you'd like to have probably your quarterback competition trimmed to at least two, would be my guess. I think you'd like to get all your position moves probably behind you, get a feel for where guys need to be. I mean, the depth is going to be an issue this year. I mean, they're probably going to be playing with like 65 scholarship guys, maybe 70. I haven't crunched the numbers. We'll see if more guys leave after the spring. I think that's very possible. So, you know, I don't know if there's any specific one thing. I think it's just get a feel for who you are and who's in the boat and, you know, get guys sort of rowing in the same direction.
I'm interested in see who the leaders are going to be on the defense and the offense.
It sounds like Jeremy Banks is going to be one of those guys. I'm a little surprised defensively, but it seems like, you know, him and Tyler Barron, it sounds like, have really been two of the voices that have kind of emerged in these last few weeks. That's really interesting to me. You know, offensively, we'll kind of see. I think Matt Butler obviously is going to be another guy on the defense who
he's like a silent assassin, pretty much.
Yeah, I think when he speaks, people listen. Right. Offensively, there's still going to be a void there. You know, Cade hasn't been on the team that long. You know, Darnell hadn't played a ton, been a little bit underwhelming. They don't have that quarterback in the room, that commanding. They don't really have obvious candidates for guys that need that. And I think that was missing on last year's team. And so they're going to have to find that offensively.
We're going to figure it out. David Ubbin, we're getting closer, buddy.
They're going to try to figure it out. We'll see if they get it figured out.
I know. Well, they're going to try to, and we'll see how things play out. David, thanks so much for joining. Tell everybody where they can follow you. And you had a great interview with Brandon Kennedy. Where can everybody go read that?
TheAthletic.com. We got a dollar a month thing for new subscribers. So that is, you know, we like to say you can subscribe to The Athletic for like the price of a cup of coffee per month, but a dollar, I mean, that's like McDonald's coffee right there. So that's like half a Starbucks. Well, that's like a quarter of a Starbucks. So yeah, check us out. That gets you access to everything on our site. Our college football team of like 40 something writers. We just added Mr. Sam Kahn this week as our tech expert. Very excited to have Sam.
I saw that. Yeah.
Sam's fantastic. But yeah, Titans, Preds, we've got people covering everything. If you, whatever you like, I can almost guarantee you that The Athletic is covering it. So come check us out.
That's awesome. David, thanks for joining. I'll bring my umbrella to practice on Thursday if we have it. And look forward to seeing you, brother.
Sounds good. See ya.
Thank you.